Are we facing a loneliness epidemic in our country? The answer may just be yes. According to new research, 50% of Americans say they are lonely. In fact, some research suggests loneliness is worse for you than smoking or obesity. It can even increase the risk of type 2 diabetes. Those who face social isolation actually see a 14% increase of premature death. So why are we facing this issue in our country, and what can be done? Joining me live in studio is Dr. Amy Walters, a licensed psychologist and behavioral specialist at Humphreys Diabetes Center, and Erin Olson, outreach and education specialist at the Idaho Commission on Aging. I want to welcome both of you to the program today.
Thank you.
I'd like to start with just a simple explanation of what loneliness is. Dr. Walters, maybe you can take that.
Sure, I'm happy to talk about that. So the American Psychiatric Association published an article in 2017 talking about kind of loneliness and this growing health crisis. And in that, they define loneliness as the distress that people feel when their social relationships or their opportunities for social interaction just aren't what they want them to be. So sometimes even though people are in a group of people, they may still experience that feeling of loneliness if they don't have that personal connection.
And so that's really what social isolation can feel like?
Absolutely.
So, Erin, talk about the Idaho Commission on Aging, because one of the loneliest groups is apparently 65 years and older. Do you see this with the work that you do?
Absolutely, we do. And there's kind of the two groups. One is on the younger end of the age spectrum, which people sometimes don't think about as them being connected to everything. But we, of course, work with older Americans and specifically older Idahoans. And that's where you get the feelings of loneliness that actually are caused and can also be an outcome from social isolation. Social isolation, as opposed to loneliness, it's a feeling, is actually the physical distance or lack of having people and others in your environment with whom you can interact and interact effectively. You know, that's the important thing. You can have a caregiver, for example, but if that caregiver doesn't connect with you, you can be both lonely and still be socially isolated, which causes the health problems we've talked about. And for older Idahoans, it kind of just dominoes from there. It really can be the cause and the outcome from virtually everything that they have to deal with.
And do you see it in all pockets? And what I mean by that is, you know, you may automatically think, well, if you live in a rural area, mm-hmm. it's going to be harder to connect with people. But I would say even in our urban centers, it could be hard to connect with people if you don't have a way physically to get somewhere or to have that interaction.
Absolutely. And that, you know, you hit on many of the big things. Idaho is a rural state, and we kind of forget that if we live in the Treasure Valley area, Idaho Falls, and some of North Idaho. But rural does make it a lot more difficult. Transportation, though, can be a key indicator of the social isolation problem. If you live in a part of, let's say, Boise that doesn't have public transit, and there are some, you don't have a way to get to a doctor's appointment, to a group that you want to meet with. And you can be homebound, not by your own choice, but simply because you don't have a way to get where you need to go. You combine that with the fact that, you know, we don't all have neighbors like we used to, where mm-hmm. everybody knew everybody else on the street. And so, again, you can live in a large community with a big population and still be socially isolated either by your own choices or by some of the other factors that you have that may be health-related, economic, or even, you know, psychosocial. I'm not good at getting out and meeting people.
So what's interesting to me, though, was reading some research on this and some of these statistics about, and we said this in the introduction, loneliness can be physically worse for you than some diseases. Dr. Walters, can you talk a little bit more about that? Because why? That's pretty astounding.
Absolutely. And we do tend to think about loneliness in terms of the psychological components mm-hmm. where we see increased risk of depression, decreased quality of life. But loneliness absolutely has an impact on our physical health. When we experience that feeling of loneliness, we can have an increase in blood pressure. We also can see an increase in the stress response. So stress hormones rise, issues with inflammation occur. And so over time, those physiological changes can really start to have some long-term effects, like higher risk of cardiac disease, higher risk of arthritis, higher risk of type 2 diabetes. We even see worsening progression of Alzheimer's disease in patients who report higher levels of loneliness.
That's just so what can you do then, or what can we do to try to, you know, alleviate this? Because when you say 50% of Americans say they feel some type of loneliness, That is a shockingly high number.
It really is. And so I think being aware of it is always one of our first steps to have that awareness of friends and family who may be at risk for loneliness, or just as an individual, if you're recognizing that you're feeling lonely a lot of the time, creating some opportunities to increase that social interaction, and not just surface level interactions, but meaningful interactions. It's important to have a couple of close friends or a family member that you can turn to, or some kind of an interest group or hobby, some way to have some kind of personal connection. People are social animals, and when we don't have that, it creates a significant void for us.
I'm speaking with Erin Olson with the Idaho Commission on Aging and Dr. Amy Walter, a licensed psychologist, about this potential epidemic of loneliness in our country. Talk about what are some of the triggers then. What should people be looking for?
Sure. I think as Erin mentioned, sometimes there can be barriers. So people may not have transportation. They may be in an area where they don't have a lot of contact with other people. Health can also serve as a significant trigger. We see patients who have injuries, have issues with their mobility, so they can't get out and around, may not be able to drive anymore. Incontinence can create problems in terms of going out in public and wanting to connect with others. And then also just grief and loss. People who are aging oftentimes experience friends and family members are passing away, and the connections they used to have are no longer there. Families are more mobile and going to different areas. And so any of these things can really trigger issues with loneliness.
And I want to go on the other spectrum of this. And Erin, you mentioned this mm-hmm. briefly, but the other group are the younger generation who are experiencing loneliness. And what's interesting about this is they are the most socially connected in this day and age because of social media, you know, all of the outlets that they have to connect, the texting, Facebook, Instagram, all of that. Yet you're seeing that they are also experiencing loneliness?
Right. Adolescents are actually the second highest group that reports issues with loneliness. And part of that may be due to the fact that social media is so prevalent now, and people think about those are their friends, in quotes, and that's mm-hmm. how they stay connected. And yet that connection isn't at the same level that a personal connection is. So having that face-to-face interaction, having a friend and spending physical time with that person, getting to know them on a more in-depth level than just what's on their Instagram or Facebook post.
So taking that phone away sometimes as a parent is what you could do.
Sometimes it becomes easy to get pulled into the social media, which then takes time away from true social interactions.
Right.
So we
exactly.
want to make sure that our adolescents are spending quality time with friends and family and having those deep connections.
And Erin, in the case of the other population, mm-hmm. 65 and older, what are some of the resources then? Because I think, Dr. Walters, what you were talking about is a lot of it is that as you age, you lose more people, and you're not as physically able sometimes to mm-hmm. get out and about. So what's available for people to be able to keep those connections? Because it's so critically important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we see some of the things that Dr. Walters was already talking about that works on the alternate side of the age spectrum as well, which is social media that can give a false sense of connection actually can provide older people who may be homebound a way to communicate with family members.
So almost a flip side of it.
It is. So there's, you know, the good and the bad, and there's really no rules about it. It simply is how it's used. If you have somebody who's homebound, their family lives elsewhere, they can speak to their grandchildren or maybe even have video calls with mm-hmm. them that gives them that connection. And of course, the flip side of that is when you have that, you have people that are checking in. How are you doing? You know, when you don't have that, you kind of lose touch sometimes with how is the person really doing other than they're there. Now, Idaho Commission on Aging, of course, this is our focus, which is keeping people independent in the community of their choice, which basically means living where they want to live and doing health prevention, health promotion, our chronic disease prevention rather, and health promotion is a big part of that. But one example is we have a congregate meal program. If somebody has challenges making their own meals, first of all, we're going to address proper nutrition, which goes to everything Dr. Walters has been talking about, keeping people mm-hmm. healthy and hydrated. But Congregate Meals often provides transportation. They will pick you up. You go, you get to have a meal. It's a healthy meal. You're socializing with people in your age group. They often have at these senior centers, which is where they're usually offered, you have health programs, even health fairs that can check blood pressure, blood glucose levels, things like that. And so that, if you know, if I had to say one of our programs that really encompasses resolving the social isolation problem, Congregate Meals would be it. We also have home-delivered meals, though, for people who may be not able to go somewhere else. And there again, we get somebody who goes to the home at least once a day, at least 5 days a week. They get a face-to-face with the person. And, you know, of course, we're promoting, are you okay? We're not just going to drop the meal and run and hopefully get a little better feel and that social contact.
And it's interesting because it seems like, you know, this is simple, but maybe that's what it comes down to, is simple and getting that connection back. I want to thank both of you for coming in today. I'm sure we could talk more about this, but thank you for giving us an overview of this. My guests today were Erin Olson with the Idaho Commission on Aging and Dr. Amy Walter, a licensed psychologist.